I have a few questions for you. This is a test, so I hope you're writing everything down. Oh, tell him to scooch, Bella. Come on down. Bella's got just enough room. There we go. So, got questions for you this morning. Why are we here this morning? Go for it. To learn about God. Okay, good answer. What else? What else are we doing here this morning? To get saved. Another good answer. What else? Why do we come here on Sunday mornings and gather on Sunday mornings? Well, you said to talk about God. What else? What are we doing when we're talking about God? Does anybody else have an answer besides Naomi? Go ahead. What'd you say? He can hear us. He can hear us. I hope he can hear us. Right? Can he hear us when we're not even talking to him? Yeah, sure he can. He can what? He can hear us when we're being bad? Yeah, he can hear that too, can he? What's the purpose, though, of our gathering on Sunday mornings? We're talking to God, learning about God. What else do we call that? You guys know anything like that? A word that we would use for that? What'd you say, Bella? Worship. What's worship? You mentioned it. What is it? Somebody help her out? Megan? What's worship? Blank? Who are we worshiping? God? Who else? Can be some multiple answers here. There are other that we can name by name that we worship? I think I found that zone. Okay. Who else? God? Jesus? Spirit? Can we mention all the Father? Huh? Well, we don't worship hell. We recognize it, though, don't we? We talk about it. We need to talk about it, because if we don't talk about that, then we don't really... We can't fathom just how much we need and appreciate what God has given us, okay? So, we worship God. Why do we worship God? What's the whole purpose of worship? Since we know who we're worshiping, we're worshiping God, Jesus, the Spirit. Why do we do that? Ella, why do we worship God? What do we do when we worship Him? When we're praying to Him, when we're talking to Him, what are we doing? Any ideas? Huh? Are we thanking Him? Are we recognizing what He's done for us?
Sometimes.
What else are we doing? Anything else?
Asking for help.
Asking for help. Good job. Is God a pretty big deal? What has He done? He's done a lot. What? What are some ideas on some things that He's done? What did He make? Pretty much everything. That's a good answer, yeah. So that's a pretty big deal, right? Who else can do that? Nobody. Well, Jesus helped. But nobody, right? Jesus is God. So yeah, He made everything. What else does He do? Why do we have this thing on the wall here behind me?
Oh, the cross.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Because there's a needle one on top, there's another one, I said, there's another one, I said, there's another one down.
What's the cross about?
Jesus.
Jesus? What else?
Died on the cross.
His dying on the cross, and that did what?
Saved us.
Saved us. So if you had people that did really, really, really great stuff for you, what do you do when people do really, really good stuff for you? You thank them. You pray for them. Good idea. What else? You recognize those great things? Is that what we're doing when we're worshiping God?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, we're thanking Him for making all this stuff for us, making these great friends for us. Right? making this world for us to live in, and even the stuff that we don't understand, which, well, even for grown-ups, there's a lot of stuff that we don't understand, just so you guys know. All right? Is worship real? Is last question for you guys, okay? Is worship important?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys all said yes. Why is it important? That's another question, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah.
I said last question. Worship is important because we need to show God how much we love Him, how much we appreciate Him. And when we promise, this is the last question. When we worship Him, are we supposed to hold back in our worship?
Yeah.
We're supposed to give Him everything we got, right? So that we're going to talk to the older folks, okay, about worshiping God this morning in that way. I wanted to talk to you guys about worship this morning and see what that is. Hopefully you gave them some ideas, all right? All right, go back to your seats. Thank you. Forgot to thank Sophie for doing a good job lighting the candles this morning, too. We're still talking. Well, we're not going to talk about 1 Corinthians 1:5, but that's still my leading. That's still my motivation. This, that, in every way you were, and like I said last week, that you are enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge. And this week, we're going to talk about that in the phrase of worship, in the context of worship. And we're going to do so in using Psalm 96. Psalm 96, I don't know what page that is in your pew Bibles. Thank you. 451 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles. So Psalm 96, the whole psalm beginning at verse 1. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness." So this psalm is actually part of the celebration. If we go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it details the bringing in of the ark and the tabernacle into Jerusalem. You know, King David wanting to bring the ark in among the people to Jerusalem. And when it got there, this is part of that celebration. And, you know, look how it starts out. Sing a new song. Sing, sing, sing. You know, David wasn't one to hold back from celebrations. He also wasn't one of those to not break out in song once in a while. You know, one of his jobs when he was a younger fella was to play soothing music for King Saul, right? You know, music to soothe the savage beast. So breaking out in song was definitely something that David would do, especially in praise to God, and he'd even kick in a dance once in a while, you know? So we're going to talk about that worship as described in Psalm 96 here this morning. And we're going to break it down into some chunks so that we can talk about it. And these chunks are, you know, why God is worthy of worship, how we worship Him, and what that worship should prompt us to do and how it should prompt us to act. So that's what we're going to talk about. Excuse me. We're going to start with verses 4 through 6. I don't know if I got this. There we go. Verses 4 through 6 are the ones that says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Just remember that part. The Lord made the heavens. And he says, "Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." As we talk about God, we got to remember how awesome he is. You know, we're not talking about idol, I-D-L-E, or lukewarm worship here. We're talking about like this stuff that we talked about last week, this no holding back type of stuff. You know, no withholding anything in our worship. He's talking about sincere, deep, spirited worship. Worship that recognizes who we are worshiping and why. He's great. And he's greatly to be praised. He's to be feared above all gods. And then the next sentence says, you know, those other gods, you can't even call them gods. You know, we're using the little G here. And you'd almost think that they would put the quotes around it. Because it's just an idea that they're gods. It says, all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. All the other deities and gods that of the people around those areas are worthless. They're compared to anything close to God. Matter of fact, if we look through Scripture, we find where, you know, it talks about people, talks about men that would go and they would buy a log, and with half the log they would chop it up, they would heat their house, they'd bake their food with that log, and then the other half they would carve an idol and worship it. Out of the same log they would eat and warm themselves, and the other half of the log they would pray to and worship as a god. And in this sentence here it says all of them are what? Great, worthless idols. The only part of that log that was worth anything was the one that they ate from and the one that they heated their house with. The rest of it wasn't even worth the price tag of having it made. We all have things in our lives that we get in the way of God that are these same things, these worthless idols, and that we need to wrestle with to break down barriers between us and God. And some of them are totally unintentional. It's just that they take over or get in our way. They sneak in sometimes. And when we recognize that and see that, we need to remember that our God is to be feared above all others, before everything else. He is first and foremost in our lives. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Don't hold anything back. Because he made the heavens. He made everything. In fact, he made that tree that log came from, and he made that dirt that tree grew up in. He made that water that nourished that tree. He made this earth for us to wander on, which is a pretty huge place. I know it seems smaller and smaller all the time, but it is a huge place until you think of the other planets in our solar system that put it in just minuscule proportion, or the solar system itself, or the Milky Way that we call home, or the universe, and you realize God made it all like that. Everything like that. So great is he to be praised. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. In his sanctuary, in his grace, there is strength, there is beauty, there is something great about being in God's presence. That changes us, transforms us. See, worship and praising God and learning about God isn't just supposed to be formational. You know, form us into something. It's transformational. It changes us from the something from the world to the something that's his. From worldly to godly. More and more so. So that transformation is huge too, because you know that's not natural. That's supernatural. And that's why he's to be feared above all other gods. And because he's to be feared above all others, he deserves our worship. He doesn't require it. Let me take it back. He deserves it. He asks for it. He is the mighty God, one God, our one true God. Excuse me. not only created all we can see, but he created all the stuff that we can't see. And he also rules over all of that stuff. He rules over it all. And it's because he's to be feared. Not only, and this isn't this whole expecting us to change or expecting different from his children, from people that worship him and people that want to glorify him. He does expect us to be different. And if that sounds unfair, well, bummer. You know, I mean, he's God. God doesn't act this way because he's a big meanie. All right, God acts this way because he's holy. He's different. He's set apart from everything else that's out there. And he says, if you're mine, you're going to be holy too. You need to be holy too. You need to be set apart too. You need to be different like I am. Sometimes God isn't fair, or it doesn't seem fair in our head, but God is always just. Just because our minds aren't the same as God's, our thoughts are not his thoughts. He tells us that in Scripture in Isaiah. But they should be getting more and more so the more we worship him, the more we come in line with him. It doesn't seem fair. That's the way it is. God is perfect and blameless. So any grace that he shows on those who aren't perfect and blameless is pretty amazing. That's purely because he wants to and because he cares and because he loves those that he's giving this grace to. And who does he give grace to? Anybody that will take it and accept him. That's who. That he offers this grace to. That grace that he shows is shown about how deep his love and care for us is. And when you start down that path of thinking that God's not fair in his expectations, let's look at something else that's not fair. God came down from heaven as Jesus and as a baby whose sole purpose was what? To die. To die to cover sins of the world so that they could be accepted by God. Because nothing else was going to do it for good. Nothing else was going to be perfect enough. Nothing else was going to cover any of this. So he says, I will do it. I will come down there and make a way. I will send my son, take on flesh. And the whole reason I'm going to do this is so that I can die, and that will cover all of the transgressions that they did, that I did, that you did. Let's talk about fair again, shall we? That doesn't even seem just. But that's because God is different. That's how much we need to realize what he has done for us when we worship him and give him that glory, greatly to be praised. Because of that alone. See, Jesus was fully man, fully God, and he alone led a sinless and perfect life. Never once sinned, never once did anything that went against God, and his sole reason was to die, to give up his life that we might be wholly accepted by God. And even in that, he never transgressed. So how do we worship God? Sing praises to him. I don't think this thing's working. There. So sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing, 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 sing. Bless his name. Declare his glory among the nations. Say among the nations the Lord reigns. All of this. In other words, speak his name. But when the singing is what gets me. So sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Sing, sing. Praise can well up inside us like a song, like a melody, like the most perfect song ever composed. And you can just feel the rhythms of it sometimes. I'm picturing David here on this during that celebration of bringing in the ark. You know, they say he danced before the ark when they brought it in. They sang songs. They played tambourines and sang hymns. And that was worship. That was glorifying God. That was praising Him. And all they were doing was bringing a golden box in. No, they were bringing the presence of God into their midst. That's what bringing the ark into Jerusalem was all about. They wanted to bring that into their presence, into the center of their existence. And they were so filled with joy that they sang and they declared His glory. In other words, they were speaking all the great things of God. All the great things that He had done for them. All the great things that He had done for those past. Those things that He's going to be doing for everyone on into eternity. Sing to the Lord, bless us. Tell of His salvation from day to day. This is Old Testament stuff. Why are they talking about salvation? I thought that was through Jesus Christ. Salvation was always Jesus or God's plan. You know, we can save each other from a various number of things, right? You know, we can save each other from bad situations. We can save each other from, you know, bad stuff all the time. But that's just helping people and stuff. And that's what we're supposed to do. But salvation, we're talking about God's salvation. Only this can come from God. That saving grace. Only that can come from God. And this salvation is eternal. This is, I want you as part of my family. God's saying that. So even well before Christ came, they're celebrating His salvation. They celebrate it when that salvation brought them out of Egypt, when it brought them back from exile. And we celebrate it because of the salvation we have, because of the taking us out of bondage, the bondage to sin. And we sing it. When it comes to worshiping God, don't hold back. He put His Spirit in us to lead us and guide us, and He provides that leading and guiding in our worship as much as He does the rest of our lives, probably more. The Spirit leads and guides our worship just as much as He tries to lead and guide our decisions that we ignore Him on. He's like, let's go worship God. Let's go worship me. Let's do this right. God doesn't hold back when it comes to His love for us. Jesus didn't and doesn't hold back. The Spirit doesn't hold back. Holding back in worship is a human thing. That's a person thing. That's an us thing. God doesn't hold back His end. So if there's anything holding back, it's us. That's a worldly thing, and we're to be more godly, not worldly. So let praises of God flow from your life like the greatest song ever composed. And when we recognize the deeper things of God, His glory, His strength, that we talk about in this psalm, this is more than merely saying that God can do anything. It's recognizing how truly amazing all He has done is. It's recognizing how glorious just even the most minute thing that He did is. So when we recognize how that is and we sing His glory and bless His name and tell of His salvation, we need to spread the good news of God's glory and love in that the way we do that. Declare His glory among the nations. Go and make disciples. That sounds an awful lot like Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go, declare, go tell. Go testify. Open your mouth and tell people about me, Jesus says. And in doing so, you're worshiping Him, glorifying Him, praising Him, and following Him. And say to the other nations, the Lord reigns. Recognize, tell them, says, you need to get on board with this. Please come. I think it's definitely one of those times where it's okay to beg. Please come. I don't want you to miss out on this. It's okay to tell them that. So spread the good news of God's glory and love. Don't hold back those praises to God we were just talking about. And don't hold back from sharing the good news with others. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go and tell everyone what he did for them, why he did it, and how it affects them. And then we go on and we ascribe things to him. It's kind of a weird thing, right? Come on, Evan. There we go. It says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord. In other words, place this, thoughts, on the Lord. Ascribe to him glory and strength in your life and in your heart. Put glory and strength in the Lord in your heart. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. And in this, I couldn't help but think of Romans 12. That we talked about last week. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Bring an offering. Romans 12:1 was bring yourself. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Presenting yourself as that sacrifice is your spiritual worship. Ephesians 5 carries that thing too. It made me think of this too. Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Lord. The way we live our lives, the things that we sacrifice, the greatest offering that we have to give God is us. It's not like what we talked about last week. Because last week I mentioned Malachi 3:10. And that's the test of, you know, bringing in the full tithes and then testing God and seeing what he'll do. He says, bring in everything. And I put that with time, talents, possessions, money. Everything that you have to give God, give it unreservedly. And God says, test me in this and see what I do with it. Do the same with worship, because that is the offering that we have to give over and above those other four things that I just talked about, or just mentioned from last week. You are the greatest offering that you can give God in how you worship Him, how you follow Him, how you love Him and praise Him and give Him the glory. And do so not holding back. That's the best offering that we have to give. The best thing that God ever gave us was what? Himself. That he went up here. So why would we be any different? The best thing that we can give God is us. No holding back. And then in verses 11 and 13, it's kind of interesting. It says, let the heavens be glad. Because this is what I see coming from our worship and from worship in general. It says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. I'm picturing Jesus coming into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry. You know? And everybody is screaming and praising God, and Hosanna is in the highest and everything. And then the religious officials show up and tell Jesus, tell these people to shut up. Tell them to stop. And what does Jesus tell them? If these were quiet, the very rocks would cry out. God's creation gives him glory. The heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar. God will get his glory, whether it comes from us or other parts of his creation. The very rocks will cry out his glory. The sea will roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. I'm thinking those are blessings to us. The sea and let it roar and all that fills it. Maybe it's that shark that Eddie was telling me about this morning that he caught. Filled him with some joy. He got some good experience out of that. Hopefully you get some good stuff out of your fields too, right, Eddie? Tom, any other farmers, you know, or gardeners? Let that stuff exalt and everything in it, let them exalt, and then the trees of the forest will sing for joy. It's about nature singing out because of what God has done for it. See, he's saying that creation knows how to glorify God and worship God. Do the same. Roar, exalt, sing for joy. All this stuff. Let that fill your life. When religious officials came, yeah. No. Jesus is like, yes. Let him speak. My Father will get his glory. So be enriched in your worship. Worship God, the creator of the universe. He created everything like that, remember? Worship Jesus, the Son of God, whose death and resurrection covered our sins and provided us that eternal life, or life eternal. Jesus gave his life for us, for you. And then he took it back up again. He took it back up again to show, says, here's the hope that you have to take yours back up again too. In that glorified body, in that eternal body, that time with God. He conquered death so that we wouldn't be in its grips. And worship the Spirit, the helper that he sent to help us on our path to eternity. Show us right and wrong. Say, no, you better not do that. Yes, definitely do this. Or, for the love of God, praise him. I think his Spirit is telling us that all the time. So worship the Spirit. Only God is worthy of worship. All those other things are worthless idols. Only God is worthy of worship. So be enriched. And don't hold back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for seeing the excitement that as we read David's words and see how he celebrated and sang praises to you and glorified you, not just in song, but in him. And help us be those kind of worshipers that glorify you, praise you, and not hold back the whole deal. Help us with any reservations that we might have. Help us overcome any shame that we might have in saying your name out loud to people. Help us sing out like the trees, like your creation that glorifies you. You've done great, majestic, powerful things for us to bring us into your family, back to you, that you can be in communion with us once again. When we recognize that, Father, help us celebrate that and be excited and on fire for you, to share you with others, to share you just with each other even, to build each other up, that we can be that light that just shines out of this little corner of Minden and gets people's attention and say, what are those people doing? And says, well, we're helping out God, we're glorifying God, we're worshiping God, come on along, help us with that, and be those kind of disciples, those kind of worshipers, those kind of believers for you, for your glory, and just to show our love for you, for your Son, and for the Spirit that you put inside of us and dwell with us. So Father, we just ask your help in this. We praise you, we glorify you, and we sing out to you. In Jesus' name, amen.